You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Atlanta! Can anybody on this freaking Braves team hit? My God, man. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you guys had a great weekend, especially to all you mothers out there. Abe is in for Carl today. Carl is off all week. You know Carl, he don't tell me nothing. He could be in Mozambique. He could be in Montreal. I have no idea. So Abe Gordon.
He slips up every once in a while. We'll find out.
I don't know. Maybe Day-Day knows. He never tells me nothing. You know, my life's an open book. Carl's like a secret agent, Dukes. Anyway, we start every hour, every show with a big hearty. Abe, jump in.
Hey, man.
How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Obviously, had to deal with the Atlanta United pre and post, and that's getting less and less fun as the season continues to go on. And that was equaled by how not fun it was watching the Braves up in Pittsburgh. It's just so frustrating. One-run game after one-run game, and couldn't get it done. Plus, it rained most of the weekend. Kind of a bummer all around, not going to lie.
I cannot lie to you. I was so friggin' bored this week with the rain. I mean, I did everything I could. You know me, man. I've become like this progressive, as you know the story. I've become my dad.
Yeah.
So in between the raindrops, planting more trees, planting, you know, made a trip to Home Depot, get more seed, more sod. Never enough seed and sod, Abe. And after that, it was like pouring. And the dog's looking at me because my wife's up in Pennsylvania with a mother-in-law. Now, there was a total write-off this weekend. So Becky's up with her mom up in PA. So I'm just left to my own devices with the dog, and there's just nothing going on. And other than the Braves, every NBA game generally was kind of meh.
Yeah.
You know, it was generally one-sided for the most part. You really felt like the Celtics kind of took control of the series. I know they're still down 2-1. We'll talk more about that in depth. But some of these other ones, my God, last night the Pacers just blew the Cavs out in the first quarter.
Boy, that was an interesting one. And the Cavs looked like that maybe they made some adjustments. They took the game three on the road. And the Pacers were ready for those adjustments last night, and they shot the lights out. A lot was made about Halliburton, right? Like four points. You can't drop 4 points in a playoff game. You're the leader of that team. You can't drop four. He responded.
Right.
And so did the Pacers. I was thinking about this last night. Like, are we – because the Celtics look far from unbeatable. Like, are we really sitting here in a world in which the Pacers could go to the NBA final? Like, not that far-fetched.
Well, I've always felt, and maybe you feel differently, but I've said with Carl, if you look at how they're made up, they're kind of like a better, more athletic version of us. They do things in transition. They shoot better. They play a modicum more defense than we do. But they've got
offensive help with Siakam.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Turner.
If you're going to do this I'm going to stop this program right now. And I'll work solo. All right, just stop it right there. I was going to say we could have had Siakam. He didn't want to come to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And as we've always said, I mean, look, the story has always been for time immemorial, guys have their side piece. I don't know if Siakam has a side piece, but I mean, I've been to Indianapolis. I'm going there for the 500 in a week. I couldn't imagine anyone wanting to live in Indianapolis over Atlanta, all things being equal. because there's so many more things to do here and have fun here. But either way, they got him. We could use him.
I'm trying to remember the timeline, Mike, and maybe you can correct me. Was there a concern about him coming here and then not doing a deal? Because he went to Indy and then did the longer-term extension. Was there concern about Atlanta?
There was a thought we could have him, but it would kind of be, you know, it would be like a one-shot deal. Remember Mark Teixeira with the Braves?
Yeah.
One of those situations where he'd walk. Or, you know, we're just talking about Danny Ferry and will he get a phone call from the Hawks. But talk about Danny Manning back in the day when they traded Neek and then he just turned right around and said, nah, I don't want to stay here. So you lost Neek and you got nothing to show for it. But, yeah, we'll get into that, the NBA playoffs. It was a point, though, on Sunday where literally there's nothing to watch unless you're watching golf. Because, I mean, I'm not going to watch the freaking UFL. Kill me now.
Ooh.
You know, watching Joe Testator, I had to laugh. It's like, these fans are so passionate. And you see, like, six mutants from Birmingham in the empty stands, Day-Day, if you saw any of this over the weekend. One guy had, like, a red sport coat on and, like, some crazy hat. Like, woo, Stallions!
Now, there is one thing that is popping playoff-wise, and that's the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Heck,
as
yeah.
It does every year, and I know you're paying attention. The games have been outstanding.
My buddy Johnny was down at Miami for Game 3 with the Maple Leafs, which is just unbelievable and just high-scoring action. The Leafs, and by the way, for those who don't know, the Maple Leafs are kind of like the Auburn of the NHL, but they never win anything. At least Auburn had Cam Newton, you know, and Auburn did go to a championship in 13 to lose to Florida State. But the Maple Leafs, if the Canadians are Alabama, the Toronto Maple Leafs are literally, they are Auburn. So it was so sweet to see things actually going their way. They never get any luck. So I'm kind of pulling secretly for the Maple Leafs right now.
I'm secretly, not so secretly, like out in public pulling for the Capitals. I think it'd be a great finish to Alexander Ovechkin's career. Obviously, I lived in D.C. for 6 years. I have a lot of friends that are Caps fans. But the Hurricanes are taking it to them so far in that series. The Stanley Cup playoffs, though, have been really good.
The Falcons had their rookie camp from the weekend. We'll hear some audio what the players had to say. That's all part of the show today, and we'll dive into some of that. They did get off the top. We can tell you they did get Pierce's deal done. I'm surprised that happened so quickly.
Entire rookie class now, albeit just five, but the entire rookie class for the Atlanta Falcons officially signed now. So don't have to worry about any of the nonsense, any of the side stories, any of the holdouts. And it's time for these rookies to make it all about football, which is ideally what you want.
Yeah, I was saying, man, over the weekend, the Braves, and we'll give you some sound, and, you know, what can you say? They're just not hitting. The pitching, the bullpen, save for another Iglesias meltdown, although it was basically death by 1,000 cuts, because I don't think anything left the infield at more than 75 miles per hour. But unfortunately, he allowed contact, because that's what he does. And, you know, you get the leadoff guy on base, bad things are going to happen. But it's just another one of these games, and I thought, you know, the pass ball, and that's the first thing I've had to complain about Drake Baldwin all season, and that was a mistake. He's got to make that catch. I know it's a backhand, but you got to make that catch, because it wasn't like Sale threw it like 6 feet out.
Right.
But still, it's just so frustrating. You finally get Olsen to contribute, and then you have Iglesias just, you know, crap the bed in the bottom of the ninth.
What is it, 5 times now they've had an opportunity to win that one game and get back to 500, and they're 0-5?
Wasn't that the same thing last year? All summer long?
It just, it's not a bugaboo. Like, I refuse to believe it's like some mental breaking point, but the examples are there.
I was going to save it for later, but I'll just throw it in right now. I love what Drake Baldwin is doing at the plate. Now, Murphy, of course, pinch hits in a tough spot, contributes a big base-clearing double.
Yeah.
But I would love to see Drake Baldwin get some starts in the outfield just to get that – keep the bat in the lineup, because he's a hitter. The dude can hit, and he can hit in any situation. So let's get Drake out there, because, you know, Eli White, with all due respect, I mean, he's betting 250 for this month. See if that trend continues. I just want to continue to have the pop, and I'd like to have Drake Baldwin and put him anywhere you want in the lineup, maybe up top.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I don't know how the organization feels about his development behind the plate and that stuff.
Right.
Maybe, certainly Snit does like the idea of being able to bring him as a lefty off the bench later in games. And we've seen him come in for Murphy. We've seen Murphy come in for him. Maybe that's part of it. You got to get Verdugo going again. Like we looked at a couple of games where Verdugo was red hot and he was on base all the time. And that has gone completely cold. I got to go back and look. I feel like he's like 0-for-20 or 1-for-20. He's not getting anything going, and it's just a bunch of solo home runs, right? Olsen hitting solo home runs, and you're just not able to put crooked numbers on the board when you do score. And then, you hit it on the head. Iglesias got so unlucky in the ninth inning. And look, I'm not trying to sit here and make an argument. There needs to be a discussion about him as a closer. But in that game yesterday, he elevates a high fastball to Frazier. It's a good pitch location. Frazier barely gets much of it, and it falls in front of Harris. The next three batters are all weak grounders that are essentially put in perfect locations.
Right.
He made pitches to get out of the inning. He got really unlucky. That doesn't explain some of the issues going on anyways, but it didn't help. And, losing a series to that team.
Yeah.
That's rough.
They fire their manager. I mean, they're going to go win one for their skipper. I don't know. It's just, and there's nobody there. I heard Andy Randy talking about it with a Bo Johnson. They actually did a bobblehead giveaway on a weekend, which for those who don't know baseball, that's generally you save that for a Tuesday night.
Right.
When there's nobody in the park. But, Pittsburgh, and I've been up there, a half a dozen times. My wife went to Pitt. I love that stadium. I think anybody who's been there, it's arguably one of the most beautiful vistas with all downtown Pittsburgh. It's like Legoland when you look in the outfield over the river with the Clemente Bridge and everything else. It's just an ideal setting. I mean, I'll even drink an Iron City Light. And there's a casino right around the corner. You walk towards Heinz Field, and you got a fully functional casino with craps and everything right there. It's perfect. It's what we could have, right? Don't get me started. But it's actually perfect. And when it's the spring or the summer, it's beautiful. And you can't blame those fans for not going because the team is terrible and the owner's a creep.
It's a great first pitch on a Friday night. I love the 6:40 start as opposed to the 7:15 or 7:35. That first game, though, to your point, Mike, like maybe 7,500 fans. Like, I was sitting there watching at the start of the game. I'm like, there's no one behind home plate. Eventually, there's a foul ball. There's no one in down the baseline. So it was pathetic. And I know that's not a great team, and obviously it wasn't a Paul Skeens outing. Maybe they just fill up for Skeens, and I think we've seen that happen with teams before too. But, yeah, for that to be the team that takes a series from you, that's a tough pill to swallow. I know there's a lot of frustration for Braves fans not getting to 500. There's some fingers being pointed. I'm not sure they're being pointed in the right direction. These guys got a hit, man.
Well, that's just it. I mean, I've bellyached all season about the pitching. And then you finally, the pitching's been pretty good. The bullpen ERA's actually been down.
Yeah.
I know Montero, had a little mistake the other day, but he's been pretty good.
Yep.
And then, as you said, if you're going to move on from Iglesias, I mean, what, Pierce Johnson? You know, Daysbell Hernandez? I don't trust.
Daysbell, I would listen to. Mm-hmm. Pierce, to me, is a little concerning because of the intensity of the moment. He hasn't been in that situation. Daysbell, I think, does give you a good look. He's a strikeout pitcher. He's in the zone quite a bit. If you're going to make a move, it would be to him, but I don't know. Can we get, seven runs? Can we get back to scoring a couple, six or seven runs?
Well, that's just it. I mean, you go 2 years ago, this team was the best-hitting team in baseball. Yeah. And then, of course, we get to the playoffs, and we know how that one worked. That's the year you needed more pitching because you needed him to be completely shut down because you just went ice cold against Philly in a best of five. But this year, man, I just wonder if you start to have a little bit of regret again, and I said this, and we have all week to talk about this as Abe is filling in for Carl, but it's just you miss Freddie Freeman. I saw Freddie last night. He hits the home run against the Diamondbacks. It's like there's like 40,000 Dodger fans down there in Phoenix watching that game. Freddie is just so clutch, and Matt Olson did provide the solo home run, and that was sweet, but Matt Olson is just so un-Freddie. He's the un-Freddie, and that's what you miss. And Ozzie's been so terrible against both. I mean, it's not even the lefty-righty argument, Abe, with Ozzie. He's just so unclutch right now.
And the other thing is a lot of people are sitting here, and we're watching for the news of a rehab stint for Ronald Acuna Jr. Him returning is not solving all of these issues. It might help. It might boost a couple of different aspects. But he's not, just back in the lineup and everyone else is hitting. There's some real concern right now. At times you need to rely on hitting. At times you need to rely on pitching. At times you need to rely on the bullpen. And right now, I just don't feel that way.
No, there's no clutch. And again, some of these Aussie at bats, you want to throw something at the television. He wears me out. Murphy, that was a really clutch at bat. Hats off to Murph. But I would love that. As I'm saying, that's why I think if you look at Drake Baldwin, remember Dale Murphy started as a catcher. I'm not saying he's going to be a catcher. He's the heir apparent for Murph whenever that contract winds down. But I just think Drake is such a valuable asset at the plate, and you're so ice cold, and you need a spark, and Money Harris is so inconsistent, and you hope he's trending back up.
Right.
But there's just too many holes in this lineup. And to keep saying, well, wait till Ronald gets here, there's no guarantee Ronald's going to hit the ground running.
No, and that's a great point. I mean, he gets back. Is he to a guy that looks like, numbers-wise, he won't be 50-50. He's not going to have enough time. But does he look like that sort of player, or is it slightly different as he works his way back? There's a lot of issues right now offensively.
Hey, man, we got Abe and for Carl today. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. We're going to continue to preview the teams on our schedule. Those Aints down there in New Orleans, they finally got the word that Derek Carr was going to shuffle off and retire. I can't tell you what my buddy Trustee, who lives in Gentilly, had to say about that. dare I can say it was blank Derek Carr. He was very happy to move on from him. We're going to talk to somebody who knows something about it. Catherine Terrell covers the Saints for ESPN and the Athletic. She's going to join us at 2:40. Our weekly visit with our man Connor Riley on the Dogs. Latest on Belichick soap opera. Day-Day's got a yeah man, no man. It's a lot of entertainment. And Abe's already aggravating me. We're just 15 minutes in.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It is Dukes and Bell, man. We got Abe filled in, as they say in France, Abe Gordon filled in for Carl Dukes. Day-Day. And our man, the Dominator, pushing the buttons today as the computer fights back. It's like that that Tums ad where the food is fighting you. The computer is always battling Dom, so he's going to try to win that battle today in the next 4 hours. Man, I was just telling Abe, this weekend, I know it's Mother's Day, and hope everyone had a great time with Mom, whether it was a dinner or just hanging out at the house or whatever you did. And you sent flowers or a candy gram, but there's nothing going on. There was no action. I mean, I'm flipping around, and I'm watching. No, don't get me wrong. I go watch sports cars all day. I love anything with four wheels on it. You know, NASCAR has kind of pushed me to sleep lately. So I was watching a race from Laguna Seca, and that was kind of boring. I'm watching golf, you know, and Shane Lowry going at it. With Sepp Straka, by the way, wins. The Georgia Bulldog wins second win this year. Pennsylvania. The course looked horrible. I didn't get that course. Look, I was waiting for an Amish guy to like walk across with a cart and buggy or something. All the golf courses in Pennsylvania looked like that. It's just there's nothing there. No disrespect to Marion. It just doesn't do it for me.
A little confused about what a lawnmower is, it looked like, in parts of that course.
Yes. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, somebody churning butter behind that sand trap, but going to make me some furniture? And they're in suburban Philadelphia. It's not like they're in Amish country or anything, but there's nothing going on, and I'm flipping around, and it's like, you know, give me something. I watch Band of Brothers like the 50th time. I binge-watched the entire Band of Brothers.
Saturday
from Tekoa all the way to Austria, and then everybody goes home.
Saturday was a big fight night for me. UFC was going on. There was the boxing card on ESPN lasted approximately 7.5 hours. I was so shocked how early it started. They showed the entire card, so I had one screen on UFC all day into the night, and one screen on boxing, and then flipping around Stanley Cup, NBA. But I agree with you. Like, Sunday night was like, all right, what's on here?
Right.
Same thing. Like, if you're not into boxing and UFC, like, Saturday night would have been a total dud for me.
I watch all these Smithsonian air disasters. I always know how it ends. It's always some crazy mechanical thing, or it's human error, Day-Day. It's always human error.
Yeah, this was one of those weekends where it actually was, like, if there are some shows that everyone's been talking about that you haven't been caught up on, it was a good binge-watching type of weekend. But for me, honestly, Mike, I could have scooped you up, man. You could have hung out with me at a track and field state championship. You probably would have enjoyed that.
Can you gamble on it?
No.
Oh, that's what see, that's the thing. You give me some action on that, man. Give me some action.
You can. Just
yeah,
not,
you can gamble on anything.
Well, that's like when we do the Friday night high school football show and like Sam comes in with coach and it's funny. I'm like, oh, Carrollton's taking out. Oh, man. Then Carrollton's like a two-score favorite on this. I think it's 13.5. And then it's funny. Somebody will invariably text in going, who's taking action on the high school games? On that note, let's talk about what did happen. That was the Braves losing 2 out of 3 for our daily download. Yeah, man. Brought to you by our buddies at ATL. Live well. Don't just live. Live well. You just mentioned UFC. We got a big fight card coming to State Farm, Abe, next month. And we got a couple of fighters who are going to be in studio. A couple of guys are sponsored by ATL. Live well.
Yeah, June 14th there at State Farm Arena. Joaquin Buckley and Kamaru Usman, the main event. Rose Namajunas, Miranda Maverick, the co-main. So, should be a fun one.
So we'll be talking about that and looking forward to it, man. Because, again, I love watching UFC in person. Watching, you know, guys get the snot beat out of each other. On that note, speaking of getting the snot beat out of you, it wasn't like, you know, a beatdown. It was like the whole series seemed like to be death from a thousand cuts. Braves dropped 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh. Oh, at least we won when they were wearing those crappy City Edition uniforms on Saturday. Yesterday, the high water mark was Sean Murphy pinch hitting.
Murphy out to left center. Bay sprints over. He won't get there. Circle the bases, boys. This ball game is tied at 3. Sean Murphy off the bench with a bases clearing double.
Yeah, man, top of the 8th, Brandon Gaudin there on FanDuel Network, and unfortunately, as we already covered, Iglesias can't hold down the fort in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, a lot of criticism of Brian Snitker going around right now, but you got to credit him for those decisions that led to the Braves getting back into it from a 3-0 deficit. You pinch run Stuart Fairchild at first. That also ultimately leads to pinch hitting the catcher switch out Drake Baldwin for Sean Murphy. Murphy delivers with a double. You're tied, and you give yourself a chance. So credit for Snit for those decisions. And then, yeah, it just a real bad run of luck for Iglesias. He essentially made 4 pitches that could have been outs, and they just weren't. They weren't.
Yeah, Matt Olson just kind of just misses the glove, and unfortunately, we just, you know, I think that the one that got by Olson, I think they said on the broadcast, like 60 miles an hour was the exit velocity. So, and then if it's a bad year for the relief pitcher in the show right now, Buster only had an article a few days ago. Robert Suarez with the Padres got 15. Munoz for Seattle got, I mean, know who these guys are, have 13 saves, and then the rest of the league, as a lot of guys, the big names are scuffling. And again, I'm not a fan of Iglesias. I love to see electric stuff, but right now there's not a lot of guys. Even the guys with the big heater aren't getting the job done as closers.
Yeah, and there continues to be this weird oddity, and maybe you buy into it, maybe you don't, about Iglesias when it's not a save situation, right? Right. Technically, last night or yesterday wasn't a blown save because you didn't have the lead. Right. It was coming into a tie game, 9th inning, on the road, and you got the top of your order coming up. And all those instances, for whatever reason, he doesn't seem to have it. And look, I think you have to at least discuss it. I think you have to take a look at the closer spot.
You
got to
get Pierce. I would. My first option right now, off the top of my head, would be Pierce Johnson.
And I would go Dave's Bell, but okay. I'd be okay with Pierce.
And whoever's got a little more velo, that's what I'm shooting for here. But I mean, you know, blown saves, losses, and just frustrated. And you just don't have the confidence. But it's been like this for us down the road. Kenley Jansen, we got him at the end of his career.
Yeah,
Smitty was like that too. I mean, 21, even at 21, we had to let you like You know, you're not feeling a lot of confidence on your closers. And it's been like this for a while, since Kimbrel in his prime, if you really want to take it all the way back for the Braves.
Yeah, and I don't disagree, but it'd also be nice to not be in one-run games all the time and not rely on late-inning production or the man on second scoring in extras. Like, again, can we be okay with your starters giving up 3 runs, but it's all right because you put up a 7 spot? Like, I have to go back and look at their full schedule. Like, it feels like it hasn't happened, I guess, since Colorado, right?
Right.
When they had those back-to-back, I think it was back-to-back 14-hit and 7-run, 8-run outputs. Ever since then, it's one-run games. They've been in, like, 5 extra inning games, and it'd be nice to find some separation between you and your opponent.
Will Smith was 3-7 the year we won the World Series, by the way, with 37 saves. We just, again, it's not, as we said, it's not a good year, per se, for closers, but the Braves, as Abe pointed out, you got to hit. This team has got, you got money invested. And by the way, for years I said, oh boy, someday Ozzie's going to say, give me more. No, he's not. You're worth that $40 million contract right now because Ozzie is so inconsistent and has some at-bats where it reminds you of like the bad Andrew Jones when you always felt like Andrew didn't have a plan at the plate. That's the way I look at Ozzie sometimes when he's at the dish, righty or lefty.
Yeah, the idea of swinging at the first pitch just nonstop is infuriating. And I know the pitchers are using that against him now, his aggressiveness at the plate. And it just, we just want to look like it's a productive at-bat. That's what's been so great about Drake Baldwin, just to go back to your point. He doesn't look like he ever has just terrible at-bats.
Let's go to story two. It's about our Falcons in a rookie minicamp.
Story number two.
And Coach Ross says the rookie's going to get some minutes. Well, they better had. You moved heaven and earth to get some of these dudes. Here's Coach.
I think we got some guys in here. Like, we got, you know, make no mistake about it, we're going to have some real intentionality of playing our rookies this season and getting those guys in the grass and giving them an opportunity to play a significant amount of football for us, and we really look forward to that.
Yeah, man, what was your take? Because I haven't worked with you in a while. Did you think it was too much of a reach for Pierce?
Again, you'll always decide after the fact, right? Like, is it works out, if it
hindsight
doesn't.
Hindsight will tell us.
This was very clearly their guy. They kind of walked into and lucked into Jalen Walker somehow magically still being there. They were going to get Pierce one way or another. You're on the hot seat. You got to produce now. I'm perfectly okay with it.
Here's James Pierce, by the way, who gets his contract to everybody, as Abe mentioned to start the show. All five of the rookies are locked up. And one of Carl's favorite things, strip sack. Here's Pierce saying, I want to get some of those.
Yeah, I always think strip sack is the best play in football. I feel like you fill up a lot of stats, strip sack, especially if you pick up the fumble, scoop, and score. You know what I'm saying? You made a lot of stats, so yeah. I like, that's the best play in football.
I like that.
Strip sack.
Right. Thank you.
That's picked it up.
Right. That's what we're shooting
scored.
For. And if he does that, then we're never going to be worried about that first round pick and the second. Because it was a second round pick, so don't sweat that. Story number three, let's talk about the association.
Story number three.
Yeah, man, some exciting storylines. Last night, the Pacers just absolutely destroyed Cleveland. I know Cleveland's dealing with injuries. One of the more interesting moments, you see our boy DeAndre the Enforcer Hunter. He's not going to take that lying down. Yeah, that's about it. By the way, DeAndre Hunter has gone back to his nature, which is to be terrible and disappear for long stretches. He's been an absolute zero in high tops for Cleveland.
You know, I used to work in Cleveland, and I would talk to them after that trade, and they were all excited. I'm like, you guys, just wait, man. Just wait. You're going to see.
The clock will strike midnight.
Yeah.
Yes. He will turn into that pumpkin, right? You ain't lying about that. So the Pacers now, I think they go up to Cleveland. I think they get it done. I'm even feeling a gentleman's sweep. They've got so much mojo right now.
They also seem to have matchups figured out, and there's now some injury concerns again for Cleveland. I'm with you. It feels like this one is done.
Now, the Knicks, they can't hit free throws, and all of a sudden there's some issues. And we'll get into that in depth because we got 4 hours to cover today. But talking about the Nuggies and the Thunder, and again, kind of a change into the guard. You know, you got SGA. We've already talked about, you know, Ant-Man. You got all these different pieces that are coming together. But last night, the Thunder, for a while, looked like Nuggets and Joker were going to hang around. But here's SGA saying he's got to get it done.
Every game is do or die in a series against a really good team. One game can shift the complete control of the series, and we've realized that. So, yeah, every game here on out in the past four have been do or die. We keep that mentality.
Yeah, maybe they do have it figured out. I was shocked this became a series after game two. When Denver won game three, I was really, really surprised. It felt like SGA and OKC had taken control with a huge win in game two. Thought they were never going to look back, but game three they lose. Last night could have gone either way. That definitely could have been a Nuggets win. This is still a series.
NBA playoffs. And we had the play-in, so we wouldn't have these embarrassing moments like the 8-1. But to be up 80-39, talking going back to Indianapolis, unbelievable how that played out. Hey, man, that is our ATL Live Well Daily Download on Dukes of Bell. Abe is in for Carl today. Coming up next, go down to New Orleans, talk to Catherine Terrell. She covers the Saints for ESPN The Athletic. Are they going to be a factor in this division? Are we going to roll over these cats? Because it always seems close when we play the Saints, but we get the news about their quarterback and more next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Back to work on a Monday. Hope everybody had a great Mother's Day. Found an old photo. I think it's like kind of radio or TV rules. You got to go put a photo of your mom up on social media. So I found a picture of a mom on the wedding day. I think it's the last time I saw my mom and dad smiling together. Anyway, it was 1964. I hope you guys had a great... Well, you know the story. If you don't know, we got 5 days, Abe. I'll fill you in. I had more fun. I'm the only kid in America who was upset his parents got back together. But enough about me. What are the Saints going to do? Because as Falcon fans, we've had enough heartbreak down there in the Big Easy. We turned to like Pat O'Brien's. We got a couple of hurricanes. We get on the plane. We're rocked flying back on a Sunday night. Hopefully that won't be the case this year. Let's find out what's going on down in the Big Easy with Catherine Terrell from ESPN. She covers the Saints. She comes highly recommended by Todd Graffinini, by the way. We won't hold that against you, Catherine, that you know Todd. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. I know Graf's listening right now, so you know, if Graf says to go on with y'all, of course I have to do it.
Right. Well, by the way, Graf, I got a sidebar on this one, Catherine. When Katrina hit, Graf was on my couch in my old apartment in Buckhead for 3 weeks. And I got to tell you, I think I was still finding cigarette butts, like, you know, months later. Anyway, enough about Graf.
And you're still friends.
Exactly. And for those who don't know, Todd is the voice of the Pelicans, longtime voice of Tulane. Catherine, was it surprising to you that Derek Carr announces his retirement?
I was surprised at the timing. I really thought this thing would drag on through at least June or July. I thought that it would probably ultimately end with some sort of agreement that Carr would go on IR. I guess I was just surprised that, you know, an hour before rookie camp, it's kind of like, okay, well, he's retiring and this whole saga is done. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more twists and turns to it, you know, in the next few weeks as more information comes out. But it definitely has been one of the weirder months in recent Saints history. That's saying a lot.
Mm. Who do you think's happier with how it played out money-wise? Obviously, Carr is giving up $30 million but taking $10 million and the Saints the inverse. And are both sides happy with that? Or are you surprised it came that easily for both teams for both sides to agree?
I mean, I think they have to be. You know, first of all, Carr gets $10 million to not play. And the Saints basically get to figure out their cap problems all in one, you know, one swoop. So I think it worked out great for both of them because the Saints are going to have to deal with the fallout of the Carr cap situation next year. But as far as this year goes, I think it's essentially a wash and they don't lose $40 million, which obviously, you know, they would have gotten out of it salary cap wise, but that would have been a tough pill to swallow even for a billion-dollar organization.
It's a Catherine Terrell with us, guys. I'm down in New Orleans talking about the Saints as we've been previewing all of our buddies. Talked to Rick Stroud in Tampa, Joe Person, all our buddies about all the teams in the division. So let's start with you guys and the Shedeur Sanders thing. I don't know if we can talk to anybody else about it because everyone else passed. But I really thought with Kellen Moore, it just seemed like, wow, it just fell in your lap and you guys didn't want it either.
You know, in the weeks leading up to the draft, just all the things I was hearing was that it wasn't going to be Sanders. It definitely seemed like the Saints were going to take a quarterback, but I honestly did not think they were going to take a quarterback at 9. I thought they'd pass. And so the way it kind of played out, makes a lot of sense to me. They really needed an offensive lineman. I just don't think they felt good enough about any option at nine to take a quarterback there. But, yeah, it was interesting. I if you want to talk about shocking, I definitely did not expect Sanders to fall as far as he did. That right. shocked me.
With Tyler Shuck, and obviously he's going to be involved in a quarterback competition with Spencer Rattler, who we've seen a little bit of, and Jake Haener, who we've seen a little bit of. How much of his decision to be drafted there was probably them preparing for Carr actually being out? I know this kind of came a little bit late in terms of the timeline for what was going on with his shoulder, but they had to know pretty well that he was not going to start this season and plan for that with a second-round pick.
I honestly don't think the decision to draft a quarterback really had anything to do with Carr at all. I think you can kind of read the writing on the wall pretty early. When you go back to Kellen Moore's first press conference all the way back in February, we gave him a lot of chances to commit to Derek Carr being the starter, and he just didn't do it. Now, they kind of changed their tune in the following weeks and seemed to be more behind Carr as the starter. But I thought that said a lot, at least to me. And it always seemed like Moore was going to want to get his guy, whether that was in this draft or our next draft. It just made it feel like to me that Carr's time with the Saints was short-lived. So I don't think that they panicked because of Carr and took a quarterback because of the injury, but I do think it was something they were always thinking about, even if it wasn't necessarily with the ninth pick.
From New Orleans, it's Catherine Terrell. Guys, you can follow her, Cat Terrell, by the way, see what's going on with New Orleans. I think, Catherine, it's the best rivalry in the NFL. With all due respect to the Bears and the Packers, I've always said this is a rivalry that's got some hot sauce on it. You know, two great fan bases, the trash talking. Even when either team is terrible, it's still a great game and a lot of fun. So it was kind of interesting for us. We find Jalen Walker falls to us. We didn't think we'd get him in a million years. And a guy that he beat like a government mule gets drafted by you guys, and that's Kelvin Banks out of Texas. So was it just kind of you had so many needs, you said go with a steady piece and then shore up the offensive line, that's why they chose him?
Yeah, I think that when you look back at the Saints' 2024 season, offensive line was the biggest problem. Injuries was one issue, but it just certainly felt like Trevor Penning wasn't going to be the answer. And so they were looking for someone going forward that could man the tackle position. I think that's why they didn't pick up Trevor Penning's fifth-year option. Now, the interesting thing, at least for Saints fans, will be whether he plays on the left or the right side. But to your other point, I agree. I covered the Bengals for 3 years, and I thought the Bengals-Steelers rivalry was always really interesting to cover. But it's very different from the Saints-Falcons rivalry, which I always call the pettiest rivalry in the NFL. I think it's so fun, and I always look forward to those games every single year because it's always something weird that happens or happens around game time, so it's great.
And Catherine, what are the first-year expectations for Kellen Moore? Because obviously you're going to be playing with a quarterback in either Tyler Shuck, that rookie and has a long way to go, or quite frankly, Rattler and Jake Haener, which just aren't it. What's the understanding of what this year could be for the first-year head coach?
I honestly think that Derek Carr retiring almost gives this coaching staff like a strike through if it doesn't work out this year. I feel like the front office isn't going to look at this year, and if it's a failure, say this is a reflection on the coaching staff. They're probably going to say it's a reflection of the circumstances. So in that regard, I don't think expectations are super high this year. I mean, first of all, you look at the defense. There's an aging roster on the defensive side. Offensively, I think they need more playmakers. And then you don't know what you're going to get with a young quarterback. So there's a lot of question marks surrounding this team this year. And plus, you look at, like you said, you know, a first-year head coach, a very young head coach, you truly don't know what this team is capable of. So I think, honestly, if the team shows potential heading into 2026 and they seem to be trending in the right direction, I think that would be enough for this fan base going forward. But yeah, right now, I don't think people are looking at this team and, you know, saying it's a playoff team.
You added Chase Young. I know that for years, I mean, we have guys that just live in our backfield, and Cameron Jordan's been one of those guys. It always seems like he loves to beat up on us with relish. So, I mean, we've got to protect Michael Penix Jr. this year. Obviously, we feel pretty good about our offensive side, but do you feel we'll have a pretty good time against that defense this year?
Yeah, actually, Cam Jordan just celebrated Cam Jordan Day, and they made sure to mention how many times he sacked Matt Ryan. You can't talk about Cam Jordan without Matt Ryan, right? But With Chase Young, I think the biggest question last year was, is he going to get through the season with his injury history? And then that quietly went away. I mean, his whole contract was structured in case he had an injury issue, so they wouldn't have to, you know, gamble all that money on him. And no, I mean, that was not a problem at all. I think the next thing for Chase Young is, can he take a step forward? I think there's still a lot of questions about this defensive line, and it really is about, can Chase Young and also Carl Granderson, you know, move forward? Because Cam Jordan is not getting any younger, and I don't think that there's that many years left for Cam Jordan. So can they find the next Cam Jordan? They haven't done that yet, but they definitely have tried, and I think they're still searching. So maybe they're betting on, you know, Young kind of takes that mantle. He's only 26.
Right.
I'm going to be honest here, Catherine. I think there's a real chance for New Orleans to be at the top of the draft again next year. I just don't believe much in what they have. I do like Kellen Moore, but the quarterback thing is a real issue for me, along with some other concerns I would have. Do you think drafting Tyler Shuck at the second round this year is a preventative measure for them potentially taking quarterback if they're in the top five, top seven next year?
Well, I mean, I guess you say the Saints are holding out for Arch Manning, but, you know, Arch Manning might not be there at all next year. He might still be in college. So I think that they just like Chuck, and, you know, they're taking a chance with him, and maybe it turns out that they haven't been shy about drafting quarterbacks lately. Now, granted, not that high, but the Saints have drafted quarterbacks in the last three drafts, which for them, they had the luxury of having Drew Brees for so many years, and they never really had to worry about that. So, you know, I think that I'm going to assume that Chuck ends up winning the starting job this year. I mean, as everyone has said ad nauseum this offseason, Chuck is an older rookie, so they're going to want to get him on the field as quickly as they can. And so I think this year we're probably going to get to see, is he the real deal? And if it's not working out, then why not look at the quarterbacks in next year's draft? I mean, I don't think that was a crazy pick, but I know there are, you know, there is a portion of the fan base that is saying, like, why draft a quarterback when you have so many other needs? You know, wide receiver, again, being a big need going forward.
Right.
But, you know, they're trying to do things differently this year under Kellen Moore than the way they did it under Allen or Peyton.
Right. Mickey Loomis.
Their draft, they didn't actually make a trade. They never do that.
No, Mickey Loomis that never has cap space, but always seems to find a way, because we'd love to have you guys take Cousins off our hands. We can then hit him like a pinata. It is, guys, a breakdown of the Saints with Catherine Terrell from ESPN down in New Orleans. Catherine, we do this with all our experts to come on from Charlotte and Rick Stroud, our buddy in Tampa. We had Michael Kay on last week with the Charlotte Observer. Let's get your view of the Falcons. What do you think of the Falcons this year, and what are your projections? What do you think when I say Falcons?
I just think this NFC South as a whole continues to just kind of be like a division where they're all just like, everyone's okay. Like, no one has taken this division and ran with it in how many years? I mean, I know, you know, the Bucks have had success, but I do feel like the last years this division is just like a race to the middle. so you know, with that being said, I'm definitely interested to see what the Falcons do this year, especially after, you know, some of their draft picks. I think they had an interesting draft. I feel like, you know, they kind of gave up a lot for their first round pick. How is that going to help them going forward? I don't know, but I'm interested to see. And I know that's kind of a vague answer because it's so early, and I just feel like, again, no one has taken this division and kind of ran with it this early on in the offseason. So I don't know. Maybe it's another race to the middle for everyone this year, but we'll see.
Hey, Catherine, final question for me, and we really do appreciate your time here. But Derek Carr is just 34. If he gets this shoulder figured out and fixed up, do you think he stays retired, or is there a chance that he could come back? And if so, is he clear of the Saints, or do they still hold some sort of contract there?
The Saints hold his rights through the 2026 season, and that's the big question that I've been asked by a lot of people. So what happens if he unretires? I mean, there would be cap implications to that. Right. I think if he retires and decides next offseason he's coming back, then he can't just play for whoever he wants. I guess that he would – the question is, would he be able to wait that out, or would the Saints hold his rights kind of – right, like frozen in time? I don't have an answer to that yet. I know I should off the top of my head, but even if you're getting to that scenario, they put in the statement that he has a degenerative rotator cuff issue. So that alone would probably scare off teams with his age and all of that. I think that if he was planning on retire, they probably wouldn't put that language in the statement, but it just kind of makes the whole situation all the more intriguing.
Right.
Is this really over for Derek Carr, or if he sits a year out and feels better and waives his no trade clause, the Saints send him somewhere else since they still have the rights? I think we might still be talking about this next year, but for now, I guess you just have to take it at face value that, you know, he really is done.
Right. He always seemed like a good dude. I felt bad for the guy in Vegas because he seemed like the one guy that cared, you know, and then, you know, it just everything kind of goes south and Josh McDaniels comes in and then next, you know, he's just one of these dudes who's kind of bouncing around. Hey, we do appreciate the time. We'll see you down in New Orleans and we'll find out when we see you in a couple of days here with the schedule release. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, as always, I can't wait for that matchup. It's always a good one, and I'm looking forward to it.
Cool beans, man. Thanks again. That's Catherine Terrell, guys, from ESPN down in NOLA. And, again, kind of cool to get the vibe. As she said, not impressed from down in – and why would anyone in New Orleans be impressed by what we've done? Not like we would be impressed, as Carl and I always crap on New Orleans. I'm not saying there's not an agenda, but she was just kind of like, yeah. Because I look at us and say, look, we know we're going to score some points, but we know our defense is garbage. That's why we had to do the things we did to try to beef it up.
I think there's at least optimism. I don't see any in New Orleans.
No, it's kind of scorched earth right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of playing out the string. You're right about that. Hey, man, coming up, speaking of the schedule, the leaks are already out. So we do know a couple of the bigger games. We'll get to that. We're trying to find out if we're going to need to stamp our passport for a trip to Germany. Stay tuned. It's a little 4th and 1 with Abe and for Carl on Dukes and Bell.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.